posterity to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Fort Collins Radiator Shop reminds listeners the effects of child abuse are devastating. For those who survive, the pain inflicted upon them as children will often influence their entire lives. If you or someone you know needs help, contact your local authorities immediately. This message from Fort Collins Radiator Shop, 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, they have 47 years of experience, family owned and operated. Call 970-482-6783. That's 970-482-6783.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, good morning, Dan here at the American Freedom Network, and certainly our guest this morning is Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution, and we're going to be talking about our Constitution. And ladies and gentlemen, this is the very foundation of America. Why? Because our foundation was built upon the concept that there was a creator that had given us our rights, and that basically... of course, as John Adams had said so well, our form of government was made for moral and religious people. It wouldn't work for any other. Basically, you can't have limited government unless you have moral people. Well, unfortunately, we no longer have moral people. The people, the conspiracy, call it what you will, took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools and morality out of our schools. We're in kindergarten now. Children are told that homosexuality is perfectly normal. Certainly, you can't have a Bible in school, but you can have one and you get to prison. And they're both public institutions. What's the difference? Well, maybe if we had more Bibles in school and prayer in school, we wouldn't have so many people in our prisons today. We have more people in our prisons than any other nation in the world, including communist China. Ladies and gentlemen, America is a post-Christian nation on the way down in the death spiral, and the only thing that can turn this around is a spiritual revival and certainly getting back to our Constitution with limiting the power of the federal government so men could be free. And with that as the background, Pastor David Whitney of the Institute, go right ahead.
So, thank you, Dr. Stan. It's a blessing to be with you and with your audience. When we talk about government, one of the things that people need to understand very clearly from God's Word is that because all men are sinners, including anyone we elect to office, even if they are a Christian, they cannot be trusted with unlimited, unchecked power. Because if they are not checked in their power, they will abuse it. Even the best of potential legislators will be likely to abuse power if they are given unlimited power. And so our founders were very wise in their structure of our constitutional republic, knowing that checks and balances were absolutely essential. Excuse me a second. Absolutely essential. And that furthermore, it wasn't just checks and balances between the three branches of government that were essential. They constructed it so the four levels of government, federal, state, county, and then the most local being a town or township, depending on the structure of the particular state, that those four levels of government were also to hold in check the other levels of government above them. And with that kind of structure in place, our founders said, each of those rival interests could oppose one another and would be jealous for the powers that in our structure they had been granted by the people, certain limited delegated powers, enumerated powers, but that as soon as they began to step out of those those rightful roles that they had, then the other branch on the same level or the other levels of government would interpose against their unlawful actions. They would force them back into the box, that is the boundaries that were established in our constitutional republic, that on the federal level were the U.S. Constitution, on the state level were state constitution, county level would be county charters and so on, so that each level of government would serve as a check against the other. And then in case all three branches of government and all four levels of government were to somehow collude together against the God-given rights of the people, by the way, I could say that's exactly what we have seen happen in our day today, that all three branches and all four levels have colluded against the people to steal, rob, and pillage them, and then to violate their God-given rights continually. All that's taken place. They said, we need a fourth branch of government that can step in that breach, and again, interpose on behalf of the citizens to prevent the great violation of their God-given rights. And they said that was the jury, the power of the jury to judge a law that's been passed by the legislature, signed by the executive, and where the judicial branch has looked at it and said, oh, yeah, that's constitutional, so on. That they still have the power, one juror, to stand against all of that, three branches of government and perhaps their other 11 jurors, and say, no, that is not law. That cannot be law. That is a violation of the laws of nature and nature's God, and a violation of our Constitution. And therefore, I am not going to convict anyone under this so-called pretended legislation. That phrase, pretended legislation, is important to remember because that's exactly what our founders called the things that King George III and Parliament were passing, quote-unquote passing. They said, no, those are not law. Those are mere pretended legislation. And so it's important for us to remember that when government enacts something, doesn't necessarily make it law if it violates the supreme law of the universe, the laws of nature and nature's God, and the supreme law of the land, the U.S. Constitution, or in a state issue, the state constitution. Well, as the ratification debates were taking place in all 13 states regarding our current constitution, it was apparent that this constitution would not be ratified unless there were subsequent amendments to the constitution that composed a bill of rights. In fact, several states said, we will not ratify this Constitution unless a Bill of Rights is about to be attached as the very first thing that Congress does in its very first session. And there was an agreement of all the people who were in favor of ratifying the Constitution without a Bill of Rights. They said, okay, we hear you. We hear you loud and clear. We will have a Bill of Rights as the very first thing that Congress puts forward. And so when they did, they designed a Bill of Rights that would be further restrictions upon the federal government. That's what the Bill of Rights is designed to be. It's designed to put a wall around the activities of our federal government and say, these are the only things you can do, and furthermore, we're going to reduce you such that if you attempt to get outside of this wall that we have created, these are the penalties that are going to come upon you. And we've talked about the First Amendment previously and talked about the Second Amendment as well. This morning, I'd like to talk about the Third Amendment. Probably the most neglected amendment of our Constitution is the Third Amendment. And primarily, it talks about quartering troops, that in a time of peace, quartering troops are forbidden. Nobody has to be forced to have troops in their home. And, you know, this is kind of an odd idea to us. Perhaps this is why the Third Amendment is so neglected, because we can't imagine a homeowner being forced to have troops sleeping in his bed, eating out of his refrigerator, ruling the house any way he chooses. We can't imagine that, but that's what happened in the colonial era.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Pastor David Whitney of the Institute.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney at the Institute of the Constitution. And we're talking about the Bill of Rights. Remember, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution were the Bill of Rights. That was to limit the power of the federal government. And, of course, the 9th and 10th Amendments stipulate that if something isn't mentioned in the Constitution as something that the federal government can do, why the federal government can't do it. The whole idea was to limit the power of the federal government, because once that power was lifted, why, they would do everything. And most of what's going on today is unconstitutional. Why? Because we have a subversive group that controls our government. And they want an all-powerful government that can provide for you from the cradle to the grave and do all these wonderful things for us, except, of course, it's unconstitutional. Well, we don't have the funds for it. Now we're in a death spiral financially. America, our dollar, our currency is about to be destroyed. They know exactly what they're doing, but don't you worry. They have a plan, and that will be all power controlled by government and freedom. Well, freedom will soon become simply a remembrance of things past. But boy, we're sure living a good life right now. But we're living this wonderful, wonderful life where government provides for us, because we've forgotten the Constitution. And when you forget the foundation of your freedom, then freedom is soon lost. Pick up the story. We were talking about the Third Amendment.
Hey, yes, Dr. Stan. The Third Amendment is very simple and short. It reads, "No soldier shall in time of peace be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law." This sounds kind of foreign to us, but because we're not familiar with what took place during the War for American Independence, when soldiers were quartered in the homes of citizens without their consent. So the soldiers show up on your doorstep and basically don't even bother to knock. They just come in and say, "Hey, this house is ours. We're making this our bedroom, our living room, and we're going to eat all the food out of your refrigerator. And sorry, you just got to make way for us because we are in charge." And so in wartime, if there's a manner prescribed by law, this amendment says that can take place, but never in a time of peace can soldiers be quartered. And the quartering of soldiers is a very serious issue that our founders dealt with, because what happens when a soldier comes into a house, takes control of the house essentially, and is usually the only armed one in the house, because the first thing they're going to do is disarm the owners of the house. So So the one with the armaments is the one who's in control and decides how much he's going to eat and what bed he's going to sleep in and so on. And this led to various evils that took place. George Washington, writing to William Livingston, who was the governor of New Jersey, in his letter, March 3rd, 1777, George Washington wrote this: Robert Combs, a tavern keeper in Pennington, this is Pennington, New Jersey, and he wrote, Pennington can inform you of a rape committed on the wife and daughter of one John Christopher by the enemy, that is by the Redcoats, while they lay there. One Philip Farmer's daughter of that neighborhood was also ravished by six soldiers. Thomas Keene's daughter was treated in the same manner. Those facts I did not particularly recollect at the time of writing to you on the subject of the enemy's brutality. I have since found the memorandums that were taken when our army lay on the other side of the Delaware. This is before the Battle for Trenton, the famous crossing, Washington crossing the Delaware, that was one of the great victories in the war. And the people in New Jersey up to that point in time had largely been Tories. That is, they had been for King George. They had not been for the War for Independence. They did not raise troops, militia, did not participate in the war until these rapes that took place in central New Jersey became widely known and reported, and that outraged the citizens. Not only do these wicked lobster backs come into our house, steal our food, sleep in our beds, but now they're raping our wives and our daughters. This is intolerable. And a huge army, in colonial times huge, was raised in New Jersey following the report of these atrocities that took place there, because the people recognized, if I don't stand up and fight against this tyrannical government of King George III and his lobster-backed soldiers, they are going to do to me and my wife and my daughters and my family what they have done to these here in Pennington, New Jersey, and the surrounding neighborhoods. And so our founders had a real experience with the evils associated with quartering troops in homes against the will of the owners of that home. And we might say, well, that's interesting history. It's a terrible thing that the lobsterbacks did there. But there's other ways in which this same principle also is taking place. In other words, it's not just simply coming into your house and sleeping in your bed. What if the army shows up at your doorstep and says, hey, you have to give us all the food in your pantry? Or how about if they show up at a farm and say, all the food, all your livestock, all your farm equipment, all your fertilizer, all your food production is now in possession of the military? You would say, that is outrageous. That should never happen. But it has. It actually happened last year. At least the legal cover for this sort of theft, this violation of the amendment, was put forth by the usurper in chief, Obama. And by the way, if you want the details, you can go to a blog that I did on March 21st, 2012. Go to our website, theamericanview.com. Click under commentaries. You'll see David's blog, and look for the March 21st, 2012 blog entry. Obama seizes control over all food, all farms, livestock, farm equipment, fertilizer, and food production across America. And that sounds outrageous, but it was a March 16th, 2012, Obama issued executive order titled National Defense Resources Preparedness. And this executive order states that the president alone has the authority to take over all resources in the nation, all labor, all food, all industry, as long as it's done to, quote, promote the national defense. We know what ridiculous arguments they put forward to promote the national defense, like bombing Syria, things like that, or what they say are the national defense, absolute lies. And the phrase is actually so vague it could mean anything at all. The power to seize control and take over these resources is delegated to the following governmental authorities. In other words, the wicked imposter is not going to do it in person. But if the Secretary of Agriculture, with respect to food resources, food resource facilities, livestock resources, veterinarian resources, plant health resources, domestic distribution of farm equipment, commercial fertilizer, the secretary can take control of that, Secretary of Agriculture. Secretary of Energy, with respect to all forms of energy. In other words, if they decide, they could say, all gasoline now belongs to the federal government and you can't buy any at all. We'll cut it off from you. Or the Secretary of Health and Human Services, with respect to all health resources. They could take control of all the hospitals. They say, sorry, there's a national emergency. You don't get any health care at all. or the Secretary of Transportation with respect to all forms of civil transportation. That doesn't just mean planes and trains and buses. It means your private automobile, Obama says, belongs to him or the Secretary of Defense with respect to water resources. Talk about something you want to end someone's life very quickly, cut off their water resources. But, oh, Obama says the Secretary of Defense has the right to do that. Secretary of Commerce with respect to all other materials, services, facilities, including construction materials. In other words, everything in the country is theirs, as they have claimed. And this takeover is designated in part their excuses, well, to stockpile supplies for the U.S. military. In other words, a direct violation of the Third Amendment. They're coming and stealing the private resources of the citizens of America, all with the excuse of, oh, it's a national emergency. And authority for the takeover of all the nation's resources.
Let me just intercede. Ladies and gentlemen, of course, the whole idea we have to protect America from, well, the current threat is the threat of terrorism. Earlier it was the threat of communism. What most Americans don't know is that the communist movement was financed from its very inception by people here in the United States. If you haven't read Professor Sutton's book on Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, you should get that. Read Dr. Cuddy's books. We financed communism. In fact, here in America, we had the Communist Party. It was financed by our own government. And if you haven't read the book, Foundations, Their Power and Influence, based upon the congressional investigation of the communist movement in America, it goes into how we were backing this whole Marxist movement. Well, the same thing is true now with terrorism. And basically, the World Terrorist Movement, we're funding this. I mean, we're funding Al-Qaeda in Syria. Where is the outcry? What were they saying? Why are we fighting Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan and funding Al-Qaeda in Syria? Well, because we've always funded this terrorist movement. You need an enemy so you can justify this increased power of government. Until people understand that, until we demand that the subversive element that controls our federal government and our media, these people are arrested and indicted and sent to prison, nothing's going to change. And they work through the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission. These are subversive organizations using the financial and military power of America to bring about a world government. That's why we have our troops in, certainly in 130 nations and over 800 foreign bases. It's all about world government. This is a subversive movement, and nobody will say that. Go right ahead, David.
Well, we need to recognize that what we have is a usurpation on the gargantuan scale and a violation, and many people are very aware of violations of the 1st, 2nd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th Amendments. But here, again, the 3rd Amendment, the one that's usually most neglected, has also been attacked by Obama and company, and certainly he is not alone. Their excuse is they've got to stockpile these resources, and the authority for takeover of all the national resources is granted with nothing more than the stroke of a pen that says these actions are necessary to promote the national defense. Well, like I said, the ridiculousness is, we got to attack Syria to promote the national defense, recognizes that the people who are in control will use any lying scheme to accomplish their evil agenda. We have a government completely out of control at the federal level, and it's not to be trusted with anything, obviously not to be trusted with telling us the truth about anything that it is doing. And so, you know, the federal government now claims power to simply march into your home or your farm with guns drawn and demand everything you have, crops, seeds, livestock, farm equipment, if it's a farm, basically take it all from us. It is fraud. It is a violation of our clear restrictions on the federal government that are called the Third Amendment. And what this calls for, really, this calls for a response on the part of the states. You see, when the federal government acts outside the boundaries of our Constitution, it is the duty of the state governments to interpose, that is, to stand in the way between the law-breaking federal government and the citizens of their state. And you say, David, that's a radical idea. That's something that our founders never envisioned. Oh, no. You can read it for yourself. Don't believe me. Go to Federalist Paper 45. Last three paragraphs of Federalist Paper 45 clearly say that the powers of the federal government are restricted and limited. They're only what is listed here in the Constitution, nowhere else. They cannot expand. They cannot change. They cannot alter it without coming back to the people for the amendment process. And unless the Constitution's amended, it's the supreme law, and they must obey it. In contrast, the powers granted to the state governments were very wide-ranging and covered all areas of life, liberty, property, pursuit of happiness. So when the federal government acts unconstitutionally, out of control, it is the duty of the state governments, who have also taken an oath to uphold the Constitution, an oath that was taken, by the way, before Almighty God, and he'll hold them accountable for whether they fulfill that oath or violate that oath. He'll hold them accountable on Judgment Day. But they've taken an oath as well to defend the people against unconstitutional actions, including unconstitutional actions on the part of the federal government. And what we ought to see in regard to basically I call it a declaration of war on the American people by Obama back in March of 2012, what we ought to see happening on the part of every state legislature, that they put together a resolution that says this will not happen within the boundaries of our state. That is, we will not permit any of these supposed permissions that the federal government gives to itself to rob, steal, and plunder the American people. We will not permit that to happen. And if there is any attempt for that to happen, then the perpetrators of this crime, the perpetrators of this violation of the Third Amendment, they will be brought to justice within the legal system and the police system of our state governments.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment with Pastor David Wynn.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! If you own a firearm, it's important to have proper training. Or if you're considering purchasing a firearm for self-defense, it's important to know the right person to train with. Josh at D&M TAC is a federally licensed firearms dealer, certified NRA instructor with a great firearms training course. Want more confidence with the operation of your firearm, or to increase your precision and advance your level of training? This is the place. The hands-on in-depth classroom curriculum includes 4 hours of extensive range practice and basic firearms training, malfunction training, self-defense mindset, concealment training, and more, all at the greatest value in the gun training industry. If you want to learn proper firearm skills the right way, the first time, and want to surpass your current skill level, Josh at D&M TAC has the firearms training course for you. This course also qualifies you to apply for concealed carry permit and for advanced training. Beginner or advanced, tactical or defense, call 720-323-2534. That's 720-323-2534, and ask Josh about your KHNC listener discount. Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. And no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Fort Collins Radiator Shop reminds us often child abuse results from parental stress or parental substance abuse. Help put an end to this tragedy now. Report what you know to your local authorities. This message from Fort Collins Radiator Shop, 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, they have 47 years of experience, family owned and operated. Call 970-482-6783. That's 482-6783. On the air, because they care.
Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21.
I will not be...
Well, Dr. Stan here, and our guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney. And David, before we go on, tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your organization, how they can set up a class to begin to teach the Constitution. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we've been at this for, well, pretty close to 10 years with the Institute. And only recently has there been a tremendous surge of interest in the Constitution as people begin to understand we're moving to a dictatorship. And the reason is because we're not demanding our Constitution, our law, certainly be enforced. Well, some of our state legislators really are challenging us, but we need a mass movement among the people to point out that a subversive element controls our government and is moving us towards the all-powerful state. But how can you object to what's going on if you don't understand our Constitution, which is the very foundation of our freedom, which makes America different than any other nation in the world? So, David, how can people learn about our Constitution, set up a class, and begin teaching it to others?
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan, and you're right. There's been a great, very significant uptick in interest, classes forming all over the country, especially in the month of September here, and we invite all listeners to get involved. Do your part in learning for not just yourself, but training your children, your family members, and the members of your church and the members of your community, because we cannot take America back if we don't know the standard to which we need to return our country. People can get a hold of what we've called our host kit, because you're not literally teaching the course yourself. The DVDs do that with 12 lectures on DVD. And our host kit, you can get it either by calling us toll-free here at Institute on the Constitution. That toll-free number for Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796. That toll-free number again for Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796. Or you can go to our website. It's simple, theamericanview.com. TheAmericanView is all one word, theamericanview.com. You'll see a button there for getting a host kit, or click on the store button. And when you look at our host kits, there's various packages. One that's the student package that just is for studying for yourself. But we really encourage people to get the entire host kit package that gives you everything you need to conduct a course in your community. And we've set it up simply. I was just talking to one of our hosts who conducted a class this summer, and he was very excited because he learned a lot, and this was his second time taking it. He took it with me in person when we did a constitutional cruise last March. But when he conducted the class, he told me, you know, it was simpler than I thought it was going to be, because the directions we give the person hosting the class in the host manual make it a simple turnkey method by which to conduct the class. And he was so excited, he was telling me, because his one class, the graduated students, those have now produced three additional classes. So this fall in his area, as a result of his work this summer, and summer is a tough time to conduct a class because people are busy and traveling, vacations and all, but his one class now has multiplied into three additional classes. It's going to be four classes in his area as a result of the work that he has simply taken up. It's easy to do. Call us toll-free. Get a host kit. Get started. And that toll-free number is 1-866-730-9796. Or go to our website, theamericanview.com, theamericanview.com. Order a host kit. Get started today. And Dr. Stan, we tell all the folks who host, because I know one of the greatest fears people have when they consider hosting a class is that there's somebody going to raise their hand and ask them a question that they do not know the answer to. And so they feel like, oh, unless I'm a constitutional expert, I really can't do this. No. The simple way to handle that is say, that is an excellent question. Let me write that down. I will get an answer from Institute on the Constitution and get it back to you next week when we meet again. And we are glad to help every one of our hosts answer those questions that come in that they don't have an answer to. We encourage the host to get a hold of us as soon as they can, email or phone call, so that within 6 days we can get them an answer to that question that they could share with their class. And that should encourage your students to say, oh, I can ask any question at all regarding the Constitution. This is a tool that's going to help me understand and have my questions answered. So call or go on a website, theamericanview.com, get a host kit, and start being part of the hope for restoring America. There is still hope for our country, even though the hour is very, very late.
And one more time, the telephone number.
That toll-free number for Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796.
Okay, fine. Well, we'll go right ahead.
When we look at this Third Amendment violation of the Obama administration, I know some folks will say, well, you know, that, yeah, that's not likely. They got that on paper, but they never would implement that. Well, there's evidence that that is not the case. Naturalnews.com reports that there's a farmer, Brad, in Central Texas, who openly stated on camera, and I guess you could see that interview at Naturalnews.com, that FEMA has already started calling farms across Texas and demanding an inventory list of all their crops and all their seeds. What in the world does FEMA need to have that kind of information from the farmers in Central Texas? But apparently that is what is being done. There's other reports as well on the things that are taking place that without a lack of constitutional awareness and willingness to follow it, we have a government that is completely violating our God-given rights, and our food supply in America has been basically claimed by them that this gang of thieves can come take it any time they say, we have an emergency. And who defines the emergency? Of course, they define the emergency. Isn't the purpose of civil government, according to our Declaration of Independence, the whole purpose of civil government is to secure and protect our God-given rights? And those God-given rights to our own food supply, for example. If we allow the government to go beyond its God-ordained jurisdiction and its constitutional jurisdiction, allow it to invade the jurisdiction of the individual self-government and the family government and the church government, my friends, if we allow that to happen, there is no liberty. There is no boundary for what they will do. They will do whatever they please. And we've become, I think, as Americans, in my opinion, we have become far, far too comfortable with an overgrown, unlawful, out of control, unconstitutional federal government. And a lot of people just shrug their shoulders and say, well, that's the way it is. And I guess, you know, Jesus is coming back soon, so I'll just sit here and do nothing. No, Jesus called us to occupy till he comes. We need to stand up for the God-given rights, not only of our family and ourselves, but we need to stand up for the God-given rights of our neighbor. And we need to oppose the usurper-in-chief. In fact, I could suggest that if you go to my blog, that's at theamericanview.com, under commentary, David Whitney's blog, and go to March 21st to see the article on the usurper-in-chief, says your pantry belongs to him. I would urge you to send that article to your state legislator, whoever represents you on the House side and the Senate side in your state government, and urge them to craft a piece of legislation that would say this action on the part of the federal government is null and void. It will not be permitted in our state government.
Hold the thought. We'll be back in a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Hi, I'm Double A Aaron at Ehrlich Toyota on Highway 34 and 47th Avenue in Greeley. We offer a great selection of new and used vehicles at very competitive prices. I wanted to support the unique programming on this very important radio station and convince the dealership to help me. Give me a shot at earning your business when considering your next vehicle. I will treat you fairly and give you the respect I would want. Call me, Double A Aaron, at Ehrlich Toyota at 970-339-3900. That's 970-339-3900.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution, and go right ahead, David.
Well, when we move from the Third Amendment to the Fourth Amendment, again, many folks are probably more familiar with the Fourth Amendment. Its language is this: the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or things to be seized. Here again is a very clear restriction on the part of our government. If our government suspects that a crime has been committed, and again, that's the whole purpose in getting a search warrant, that is, evidence has to be presented to a impartial third party, usually a judge. Evidence has to be permitted. And by the way, it is required they submit this evidence upon oath. That is, they swear that to the best of their knowledge, this evidence is true. So they haven't planted evidence on someone and are cooking. If they have cooked this, which oftentimes I believe there's reports of this happening, where the police have been involved in planting evidence and then getting a search warrant for the evidence that they planted. Well, they are going to have to stand before Almighty God, and there will be hell to pay for all eternity for those people who have violated their oath. So I would hope that anyone who is in the law enforcement profession, which should really be called the peace officer profession, that they would never engage in such a wicked practice and then take an oath before Almighty God, swearing that the evidence they're presenting is truly accurate. But if they do have evidence that would suggest that a crime has been committed, then they're to present that to an impartial third party who issues a search warrant. But notice the language here. It has to specify the specific things to be searched for, and the particular describe the place to be searched, the persons or things to be seized. In other words, the search warrant is never a fishing expedition. It was never allowed to be or designed to be a fishing expedition. They have to have a very limited group of things or persons that they're going after, and that alone is what they should be able to apprehend in exercising the search warrant. Oftentimes, what happens, though, they go into a house and they just begin a fishing expedition. Oh, they weren't looking for guns, but oh, they found some, and then they're going to find out, oh, do these things, are they registered, blah, 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 blah. So oftentimes search warrants are executed in a way in which it is a violation of the very principles that are spoken of here. Now, the background we need to understand is that God's law, laws of nature and nature's God, are the absolute principle upon which everything is founded. Matthew Henry, in his commentary on Exodus chapter 22, he said this, quote, "A man's house is his castle, and God's law, as well as man's, sets a guard upon it. He that assaults it does so at his peril." In other words, God's law in Exodus 22 says the man's house is his castle, and the king and his forces, in other words, the police force, cannot come into your castle unless there is good and reasonable expectation that a crime has been committed. That is, they just can't knock on your door and say, "I want in." And I know that I've talked to a number of people who had this experience, that if you let the police in, and they ask to be let in. They don't have a search warrant, but they just ask to be let in. And you let them in, then they will search your house top to bottom, turn over every corner they want to, because they say, oh, now that they're in your house, they have to protect themselves, so they got to find every gun in the house. So the point is, I've been told by many, never let them in the door. Don't even, you know, put a chain on the door. Don't even, if you're going to talk to them through the door, don't even give them the possibility that they could push the door in and say, oh, you invited them in. No, no, no. Don't let them in the door at all unless they have a duly signed search warrant, which I think you probably, by experience of talking with people who've had these encounters, you ought to get a camera and take a photograph of that search warrant that they hold up for you to see that it truly was duly signed, and you can find out the supposed third party, impartial third party, the judge who signed off on this search warrant, rather than just having to flash and say, oh, I got it. No, I need to see it. I need to be able to read it. I need to make a record for my records that there was this search warrant, because it will contain details, and it should contain details, at least, about the specifics, as the Fourth Amendment clearly says, particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or persons or things to be seized. You see, in English common law, a man's house was his castle. William Blackstone speaks of this in Book 4, Chapter 16 of his Commentaries on the Laws of England, which, by the way, in America was recognized as the official law book that told everyone in America what common law, English common law, was. So for 150 years in America, it was the most authoritative book of law, only excepting the Bible. The Bible was the supreme law book, but Blackstone's commentaries next in line. And Blackstone says, Book 4, Chapter 16, and the law of England has so particular and tender a regard to the immunity of a man's house that it styles it his castle and will never suffer it to be violated with immunity. For this reason, no doors can be in general broken open to execute any civil process, though in criminal cases the public safety supersedes the private. Hence also, in part, arises the animadversion, that is the aversion to of law upon eavesdroppers and nuisancers and incendiaries, and to the principle that it must be a sign that a man may assemble people together lawfully without danger of raising a riot, rout, or unlawful assembly in order to protect and defend his house, which he is not permitted to do in any other case. So English common law established this castle doctrine, and if you do a little search, you'll find quite a bit on the castle doctrine. I know there's several different groups that are trying to help citizens maintain this castle doctrine in America. But most law enforcement officers are not taught this. They are not trained in this understanding of the castle doctrine. There might be some notable exceptions, but it's been lost in our day, and the attitude is, your property is not yours. And the Supreme Court, having declared that in Kelo v. New London, the government really owns your property. You just have to be renting from them, paying property tax to stay on that property. It's really not yours. Even if you own it, you don't own it. They can take it any time they want, and they can invade it any time they want, and they can send their inspectors to see if you've got the proper paint job done on your porch railing, and if you don't, they might fine you. Oh, on the list goes.
David, we're out of time.
Egregious violation.
God bless. We'll pick this up next month when you get back here. Thanks so much for being with us.
God bless you, Dr. Stan.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com and now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16.
Well, Dr. Stan here, and we are living in very dangerous times. A subversive movement controls our government and makes mockery of our electoral process. As you can remember, last November, well, there was all sorts of voting irregularities, all sorts of instances where far more people voted in a precinct than were actually registered in the precinct. How can you do that? Well, you're not supposed to ask that sort of question. After all, if there was anything wrong with the electoral process, why would it be investigated and taken care of? No, it wouldn't be. Let's focus our attention on poor old General Petraeus, because he was the director of the Central Intelligence Agency, and they were listening to all of his telephone conversations and reading all of his emails and all of his faxes so they could expose his sexual indiscretion. Is that a federal crime? No, it's not a federal crime. So why did they release it? Why, very simply, they wanted to distract us from the fact that they rigged the election last year, as they rigged many elections. Now, we still have the ability to get honest elections. We proved that in Colorado this week when they certainly recalled a couple of your state senators, and probably more should be recalled, but I think you certainly started in the right direction. People have to get involved, and we really need, ladies and gentlemen, because we still have, at least at the local level, the opportunity to use our votes. We need to educate people. We need to understand America's under attack. Not from the terrorists. We're funding the terrorists. We are funding the terrorists in Syria today that have killed 100,000 people. We are funding the mercenaries. This is not a civil war. Oh, we're bringing in mercenaries into Syria to kill the civilians, and their blood is on the hands of every American who's not speaking out. Over 100,000 innocent civilians have been killed in Syria by rebels who are large part by mercenaries, large part funded with American and CIA black funds. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there is a growing awareness across America. I'm more encouraged. I've been at this over 50 years. I'm more encouraged than I've ever been. More people are beginning to study the Constitution. Certainly, the pressure put on the Obama administration forced them to back down so they could not, of course, attack Syria and expand the war in the Middle East. And certainly what we saw is certainly what happened in Colorado was an exciting thing. And so basically there's much to be encouraged about, but you have to be involved. And certainly to understand the forces at work, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. To understand how they are actively killing our people, you need to get my talk on Agenda 21, the covert plan. Killing people, why, that sounds absurd. Ladies and gentlemen, there are treatments for cancer that are being actively suppressed in America. And when they try to send Dr. Brzezinski to prison, Dr. Stanislaw Brzezinski, because he has a cancer treatment that works and saves thousands of lives, and they wanted to send him to prison for 200 years. If you don't know that story, that's the Brzezinski breakthrough or a 4-CD set on Brzezinski. But, of course, they are promoting cancer. They're suppressing treatments for disease, active treatments. There's so much information we need to get for you. So go to our website, radioliberty.com, get one of our catalogs. Get my talk on Agenda 21, The Covert Plan, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. And once again, if you'd like a free catalog, you'd like to get the items that we have, our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.